Hello, this is Pastor Phil. Thank you for joining us online. You're listening to the podcast edition of the May 1st, 2022 sermon from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 34, called Growing in God's Kingdom. Due to some unforeseen circumstances that we're still working through, the next few sermons will be in this podcast format instead of our normal live recording. So thank you for listening in, and I hope you are blessed. Let's begin in Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 9. And that begins, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and some birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Parables are one of those few things from the ancient world that still translate into the modern times, our modern times, without too much trouble. How do you explain a complex spiritual truth to a child or someone new to the faith, or really any of us who struggle with the abstract? Well, you connect it to something concrete, something you can touch and feel through a familiar story, which is why Jesus spoke in parables, short stories based on earthly truths that have deeper spiritual meanings. Jesus spoke in this way so that people who would want to understand the things of God could, with a little effort, understand his truth better, deeper, and with more texture. But for those who choose ignorance, or would try to use Jesus' words against him, before the time Jesus had appointed to go to the cross, they would be tripped up just enough. And speaking of those who enjoy twisting Jesus' words to use them against him, you might remember from the previous Sunday that Jesus had been called a demon, crazy man, and I'm sure a number of other names that were not recorded. So we talked about the reality that if we are disciples, Christians, we will at times be degraded and torn down as well. Effect we have learned this very week. Which is why we need a spiritual family to encourage us. That no matter what the pushback is, we don't compromise on who Jesus is. Not a madman or a demon or just a good man, but the eternal Lord and Creator, the Anointed One come to redeem us. Which brings us to Jesus' response to all that pushback in chapter 3. What will he do, and what will he direct his disciples to do? Change course? Run off, placate those attacking him? Well, he decided to tell those listening, including us today, a parable. Let's look again at the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. "Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen, behold a sower.'" Now, for those who are not in agriculture, a sower is someone who sows seeds, someone who plants, a farmer. "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it choked it and yielded no grain. It withered away, excuse me. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" And Jesus just lets that story hang out in the ether, so that in the verses following, the disciples went and asked Jesus about this parable. And he gave the 12 two responses. First, that only those who want to know can understand, so that the parable, it acts like a door. You can only know what is on the other side if you decide to open it. And Jesus quotes Isaiah 6, just like he quoted Isaiah 5 in the last chapter of Mark, which out of context feels harsh. But in the context of Isaiah 5 and 6, Jesus told his disciples that he was sent by God to reach out to this nation with God's message, whether the nation receives it or not, that he is not going to be dissuaded by words or actions or even acceptance or rejection by others. And his second response is to explain the parable to all of us. Look at verses 14 through 20. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure it for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. The others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things enters in and chokes the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, pausing for a moment, we have more than a few folks here who have large gardens. And when I asked the congregation that, we had about a quarter of them to a third of them that have these large gardens. And most of who are probably listening as well, know what you're doing and how to get your seeds to grow. You know that for seeds to grow the best, you make sure to put some hay around them so the birds can't get at them. And when you plant, you always remove large rocks and weeds, and you till the yard, and that is done before, prior to planting your seeds. Yet this sower, as he sows the word, scatters it everywhere. And this is important, and we'll come back to that later. Verse 20 continues and tells us, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and even 100-fold. And we tend to end the reading right there, but Jesus continues his explanation, making a comparison. Look at verses 21 through 25. And he said to them, this is Jesus again, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed or not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus warns the disciples, he warns us again of what happens when we don't hear, when we don't listen, even hiding what they have been given, and then loops around to the sowing parable for a second time in the next couple of verses. Finally ending his teaching in verses 30 through 32, narrowing into a parable around a particular seed, a mustard seed. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet it is sown, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so the birds of the air can make their nests in the shade. I believe there is a dual takeaway from these parables. One about entering the kingdom, and the other about growing in God's kingdom. First of all, we need to understand that God's kingdom will grow. Unlike us, who keep our gardens in particular places and on our property, and measuring lines and marking ground, Jesus instead scatters his word everywhere. Everywhere. And it's true that sometimes the world comes in and doesn't allow God's gospel to take root. Sometimes persecution, the cares of the world, along with the temptations, they choke or prevent healthy growth, like weeds or rocks. But those barriers will never stop God's word from going out. And I want to stress this. No barrier ultimately stop God's good news from going out. I stress this because we, maybe not you in particular, but we as a Christian body, we tend to be a pessimistic group. Christians, that is, focusing almost solely on the obstacles. So I'm doing everything in my power to change that, at least for this particular church family. Because mostly what I've heard in my life in various church families is how bad it's getting out there. Now, Jesus did talk about wars and rumors of wars and famine and evil and yes, stolen church vans and computers. Well, maybe not that last part, but all the rest, those were always considered givens. They are bound to happen. But Jesus never really worries about the obstacles to his kingdom. Pessimism over the state of the world, the state of the country, or our families is one way to look at things. Another way, I believe a much more biblical way, we can look at each one of these as an opportunity. Jesus tells us in these parables that yes, some will reject God's word, truth. Some will turn back because of the cares and temptations. Those are not his desires. However, let's not forget about the good soil, those who hear and trust and then produce. How much are they going to produce if they hear and bear fruit? Verse 8, how much? 30? 60? 100 times as much. You see, God generously scatters his good news, his gospel. The kingdom of God is for anyone who will trust in Jesus, who understands that they are sinful and distant from God and destined for death, but that God in Jesus has broken into this world, has forgiven us through his sacrifice in our place for our sin, has given us hope of new and eternal life through his resurrection from the dead. We who trust, maybe I should say if we trust, how can we look out with pessimism? When, and let's extend the metaphor here, the fields are ready for harvest. And if they aren't, we've been given the good news to be planting seeds, whether we think the soil is ready or not. Jesus seems to tell us anywhere and everywhere will do. And out there is anywhere and everywhere. If we heed that second warning in verse 21, not to hide our light, the word, and the love of God, not to plug our ears to the call. Jesus' response to all the criticism and the attack on his character from the last chapter, from the previous week, is not to grow pessimistic, but to keep growing the good seed no matter where it falls, because the good soil is going to change the world. How much? 30, 60, and 100-fold. The second piece of these parables for the believer is patience and endurance while working in God's kingdom. Because opposition will never stop God's kingdom. All it can do is distract us if we let it. We too need to grow in God's kingdom through listening to his word and patience. Growing in patience and wisdom enough to understand and to allow time for growth in the kingdom. Now, in our fast food microwave culture, patience is not just a virtue. It is a piece of the necessary fruit we need to embrace. From the final parable, the one of the mustard seed in verses 30 and 32, how does the mustard seed begin? Not very impressive, but minusculely, even compared to other seeds. And yet, given time, it grows into a massive plant compared to most other plants in that area of the world at that time. But will we see that growth if we, as the surrounding parable states, hide our light, get choked by the cares of the world, refuse to listen, understand, essentially give up before the seed can take root? I know the metaphors are being compounded here, but I think Jesus is being quite clear. The answer is that if we don't endure and have patience in our growth and the growth of God's kingdom around us, we won't see 30, 60, 100-fold. And we'll see if what we perceive as small and insignificant seeds. That's all we see. What good will we miss out by failing to endure until the end, by letting the birds or the weeds or the rocks prevent us from our redemption, or seeing the fruit of the good God desires to do in us, through us, and with us? If all we can see is the insignificant seed, apart from what it will become given growth. And did you notice in verse 32, Mark, who is not a detail guy, ends with an interesting addendum about birds making their nests in the mustard tree. Now, there's a few possibilities to what he's referring to here, but my belief is that it's a callback to the common ancient image, which is in many cultures, including the Jewish and Christian culture, of the tree of life imagery. Without boring you with all the reasons why, the growth of the mustard seed and the nesting of the wild birds is likely an image of the pagan nations being brought into the kingdom of God. Meaning that if we attend to this kingdom patiently under the direction of the great sower, Jesus, the gospel is going to reach people we would never expect. As Jesus patiently plants and the seed surely grows, will we then give up before we bear fruit in the kingdom? Think of all the promises of God that are yet to be fulfilled. The Jewish nation as a whole will return to Christ. Romans 11:25-28. The gospel will go forth to all peoples and all nations. Matthew 24:14, among many other places. And the likely salvation for our households through our Christ-like example, 1 Corinthians 7:16. But these will not happen overnight. They are all in process as the Lord through us patiently loves and blesses and teaches and scatters his good news. Shall we give up when we might be on the very cusp of God answering one of these prayers among his many others, among our many others? A warning we've likely heard before, which is more than true, is from Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in doing well or in well-doing, for in due season we will what? Reap if we do not give up. Friends, we need to take this life and its challenges in stride. The world is what it is, and Jesus patiently works without compromise to grow his kingdom, to grow you. But if we let the world's troubles weigh on us financially, physically, emotionally, and we give up, what have we accomplished? Let's not let our faith in Jesus waver with the week's events. In fact, when trouble comes, we ought to run to Jesus as our stronghold. About 15 years ago, a kind lady in another church I served had in 1 week been looked over for promotion, in no small part because she had shared her faith with a co-worker. And when her husband, because of this, found out, he forcefully threatened to leave her. She was too religious, he said. She came to the service that following Sunday, and someone who knew what was going on said, "I'm surprised you are here today." Very encouraging, right? Her reply was, "I'm not giving up on my God." Now, she never did get that promotion. But about 2 years later, her husband got quite sick, and during that sickness came to trust in Jesus. As far as I know, they are both following Christ today. I want to bring to your attention her response. "I'm not giving up on my God." Those in the church body who were surprised by what is called steadfastness, commitment, loyalty, long-suffering, and faithfulness to Christ, she not only surprised them, but she stirred up their faith as well. She taught them patience and waiting for God's kingdom to grow. Starting as a seed in her life, growing into her children's, co-workers, and finally, the whole family tree came into shape as her husband found faith. Now, let's not pretend any of it is simple. None of it is simple. None of it is neat and clean. Seed got everywhere, and it looked like a mess for a while. But that's the point. Jesus is faithful and patient and desires that you and I bear much fruit, to be a blessing to others, to grow in his grace and share his growth 30, 60, 100 times over. So we choose to persist, because what is eternity compared with weeds, rocks, and birds? We choose to reject the error of impatience. Let us center ourselves in Jesus and on his word in eternity and not on the troubles. And at the end of the matter, God is preparing people for his word. The question is, are we taking the gospel, sowing the seed to the people who need to hear it? And are we, who have heard it, ready to receive it, but not just receive it, have our lives ready to let the kingdom and his spirit grow in us today? want to leave you with that question as we pray. Father God, help us to be that good seed, that good soil that grows seed 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Lord, forgive us when we've let the cares of the world bear down so hard on us we've forgotten. Lord, I know the process is messy. Help us, Lord. Guide us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to love our neighbors, to be witness to them. And may we see your promises be fulfilled, because they are yes and amen. We thank you, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen.